We could just take a moment to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. For those of you who might not know me, I am Brian Kember. I'm from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada. And I'll do my best to not say A so much during my message. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Lord Jesus Christ says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You know what that really means? "Take my yoke upon you and I will teach you. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy." You know what that means? My yoke fits perfectly. My yoke fits perfectly, and my burden is light. Now turn to Lamentations. Lamentations. That's in the white part of your Bible. Lamentations. Give you some help. It's after Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, and chapter 3. Verse 27, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." It is good that a man should bear his yoke in his youth. Bill Gates stood up at the Harvard University one day, and he was giving a speech. And during his speech, he paused for a moment and he looked into the audience of students packed into that auditorium. And as he looked across the audience of students, he saw many young men and women. And he said this, I wonder if today there is the next Bill Gates in this audience. Bill Gates did not know, sitting in the back in the corner, was a young man who just started a website called thefacebook.com. Mark Zuckerberg sat in that audience. I wonder today, in this audience, it's not the next Bill Gates, but I wonder today if there is one here that will be the next evangelist to reach out to the state of Wisconsin. Or will be the next teacher to an established teaching in assemblies. Will be the next one to devote their lives completely to God. The potential that there is in this audience today is immense. Just one. Just what if there's just one? Or devote their lives to Christ. We read just quickly about a yoke. There are yokes that are mentioned in the Bible. There's a yoke of bondage in Galatians chapter 5. That's what we were enslaved under, but we were released from. And then there is the yoke of unequal yoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That's one we shouldn't find ourselves in. And then there's a yoke here in Matthew chapter 11. And we can find this yoke. What is it? It's a yoke that is fitted perfectly for you. You, young Christian, older one, is fitted perfectly for you. And God has a mold for you. He has a design for you. And He wants to be there alongside of you. That's what a yoke is. It brings two together to perform a function. But I want to bring your attention to the verse in Lamentations. What it must have been like for David to come to the battlefield and to look at a man almost 10 feet tall and to walk up to him with just a stone and a sling and to slay that giant. Do you know how old he was? Most likely 17. What it must have been like for Mary as she would receive a message from God saying, "The one that is in your womb is my son." Do you know how old Mary was? Most likely 15. 15 young girls. 15. Samuel. God calls out to Samuel. All it gives us is that he was a boy. A boy. Josiah. Josiah in his teens took the nation and turned it around to worship God. My message today is, I hope those who are older would help me pray for me. My message today is for teens. And even if you're into your 20s, young people, it's a question that I often asked myself when I was in my teens. Can't say I really did the things I should have been doing in my teens. Mr. Lavery just said to me in passing, says, yeah, I remember last time I saw you on a skateboard. Spent quite a bit of time on that thing. But it's a question I have to ask myself in my teens. Does God really care about me? What can I do? I'm a teenager. I can't do it. I've got to wait until I'm in my 20s. Until then, I can actually preach the gospel. And I've got to wait till then. I want to tell you, my friend, teenager, young one here today, God has an interest in your life as a teenager, as a young person. He wants to mold you. He wants to shape you. And just like he did it with Daniel. Here's Daniel and his friends. Teenagers. They were teenagers. You know what they did? They stood up and they refused the king's meat. Teenagers. Just like God had a plan for them, he has a plan for you. I want to take a moment now just to consider simply the ABCs of Christian living for teenagers. And I want to lift it out from the life of Joseph. I can't help but think of a more extraordinary teenager than Joseph. Here he's faced with persecution. He's faced with abuse. He's faced with temptation. He's faced with degradation. And after, over and over again, he is a teenager. And what does he do? He stands tall. And he comes through it as a man of God. Teenagers here today, do you want God to shape you into, do you want God's design for you? I'm sure every teenager here say, yes, I do. Well, let's learn a few things from the life of Joseph. The ABCs. I want to first of all start with that it begins with an avid attitude. An avid attitude. What's the word avid mean? It means to be keen, zealous, enthusiastic. When's the last time you were enthusiastic, had a passion for the things of God? A lot of things to be enthusiastic about. Yesterday, some ladies got up awfully early to watch that wedding because they're passionate about it. You could be passionate about the sports right now, and I'm from Canada, and so hockey is all it's about. And we can be following the hockey and have passion about that. And passion about your career and enthused about what you might be the next step in my education and so on. Those are all fine things, but what about the things of God? That is an attitude we need to work on, to have an avid attitude. You know where it comes from? It comes from understanding the authority of God. There is a governor of Massachusetts, Christian Herder. Christian Herder was one day going to a charity lunch, and he skipped breakfast and his later lunch, and he came and he was starving hungry. He came up to the line and he puts his plate out. He says, and the lady puts him one piece of chicken on his plate. He goes, can I have a second one, please? She goes, no, I'm only allowed to give one out. He's a man that never kind of took his position, but this one time he thought, you know what? I'll try it. Do you know who I am? I'm the governor of state. She said, do you know who I am? I'm the server of chicken. See, there was a conflict of authority, wasn't there? A conflict of authority. This is not natural for us. Teenagers, in the world that you live in, and you don't have to go very far to learn this, it is not natural to bow to authority. The professor says something from the front. What's very often what happens when a hand goes up? Is to contradict what they're saying. Not being reverent to their authority. Not just authority in the school place, but authority in the law. Teenagers are not bound to authority. But my friend, if you want to live for life for God, if you want to have an avid and keen attitude, you must first of all understand that it comes from realizing the authority of God. Did Joseph realize this? Yes, he did. Can you see him now? Here's his first temptation. A temptation that is so seductive. And he steps into this temptation. What does he do? In the middle of the temptation, he says, how can I sin against God? God is the one who is the authority. Not only in temptation, but in degradation. Can you see him now? He's in the prison cell. And don't ever think that the prison cell in Egypt was like a cot and relaxing in any way. This is Egypt we're talking about. It would have been an awful place to be. And what do you find him there? You find him talking to two men. And what does he say? Dreams are from God. The interpretation are from God. God is the one in authority. Not only in temptation, not only in degradation, but also in exaltation. Here he is. He's about to be placed on the throne. What does he say? He says, it's not me, but it's God who will give you peace today to Pharaoh. It is crucial for us to understand that God is the one who has authority. And so when we open up His Word, and I've just been enjoying this lately, when we open up this Word, you know what? I can almost open up the front cover and it would say, Dear Brian. And the back cover would say, Love God. A personal letter. Full of His authority. What He has in mind for me. And so that's the way we should look at it. We will never have this zeal unless we understand that God has the authority. We can also think of it in the sense of acceptance. Not only in authority, but also acceptance of what might come along the way. You can't think of a better example than Joseph, one who accepted his way. Could you imagine what it would like to sit down and breakfast with those brothers? Oh, the hatred that would flow from them towards Joseph. The abuse that he took. What did Joseph do? His father says, Joseph, I want you to go to your brothers. What was his attitude? Oh, no, Dad, I can't. No, no. Are you kidding me? What does he do? Okay, Father, here am I. He accepted it. He accepted the position he was in. He accepted the abuse. He accepted the accusations. Even accusations from those that would benefit from him. There's Potiphar and his wife. They were benefiting from Joseph. Joseph was doing wonderful. And they were benefiting from him. And then they falsely accused him. What did Joseph do? He accepted it. Dear young teenager here today, if you were going to step up for God, I want to tell you right now, you will face abuse. There will be times where you will be accused. When you start sharing the gospel and you start getting into the Word of God, you will get abuse from the outside, but I'm sad to say this, you also get accusations and mistreatment from even your fellow Christian friends. I say this ashamedly, but I remember when I was young, there was one young man that as we went to press play on that DVD player, probably VHS back then, a movie came up and it said R. Young man automatically stood up, turned it off, and walked in. You know what we did? We took it lightly. All he was standing up for the things of God. And he took the abuse from his so-called Christian friends. Dear young believer today, if you want to be a Christian, a young person that is used by God, first of all, understand that he has the authority. And also to understand that you will need to learn how to accept these things. This is an attitude you need to work on. Not only was he abused, not only was he accused, but he was also abased. He was pushed down, and he was even overlooked. Those are in prison with him. Joseph says, remember me. He totally forgot about him. Totally overlooked. Who had his eye on him? It was God in heaven. You know, something, as I study the life of Joseph, something I find amazing. You know what it says when Joseph was in Potiphar's house? It says that the Lord was with him and blessed him in everything that he did. You know what it says when he was in jail? The Lord blessed him and he excelled in everything he did. He was given more position, more responsibility. You know what it says when he was on the throne? It doesn't say anything about the Lord giving him help. I wonder why. You know why? I almost feel that the Lord had more of an interest in Joseph when he was in Potiphar's home and when he was in jail. That's when he was molding him. That's when he was shaping him. And teenager here today, he has a divine interest in you. Not only does that, we base it upon authority and acceptance, but we move on to adoration. Adoration. It is a spontaneous flowing out in our hearts that we should be living our lives for him, and that we should have this keen desire, this eager passion to live our lives for him. What does Joseph say at the end of his life? Rather, what does Joseph say five times over when he's interpreting the dream for Pharaoh? You know what he says? God, God, God. All the credit goes to God. That's his heart of adoration. At the end of his life, he says to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And he had a whole heart of adoration. Is there a teenager here today, and maybe you've met somebody who's a young person, and it just seems that they automatically flow with thoughts of Christ? You know why? It's because they're in the Word of God, and they have this attitude, this avid attitude, that they want to live for God. So that's point number one. That's the A's. Avid attitude. An attitude that is what God is working on in you in your life. You might have this attitude, so you might be able to serve him just like Joseph did. Second of all, this is the B's. A blameless behavior. A blameless behavior. I approach this subject cautiously, but I believe it is a very crucial subject to discuss. And that is the subject of purity. If you want another B for that, call it blotless, spotless, pure. I liken a purity of a teenager to a gift. Can you picture Joseph now? Here's Joseph, and he's doing his business, and it says he's going about his regular daily business, and he's in the home. He does not realize that he's there alone with Potiphar's wife. And then all of a sudden, the temptation comes, and she urges him. What does he do? He flees. He does not care about the consequences. He runs the other way. He deliberately turns away. I liken purity to a gift. Every teenager here has a gift of purity. And if we attempt to go so far, teenagers here and young people, to come to the edge, see how far can I go over the edge? How far can I go? How far can I let my eyes see what I want to see? And let the lust of the heart, I think I can go a little bit. You know what's actually happening? You're ripping the present. You're ripping the gift. And then when it comes time for you to enjoy your marriage, you have to present a gift that is partially opened. It should be your goal in life as you are young to protect the gift, just like Joseph did. Joseph made a deliberate choice. I'm going to protect it. The Bible says, flee. I like what Job says. He says this, I made a covenant with mine eyes, not to lust. It's almost like he sat down and he wrote down a little covenant. He says, eyes, this is our agreement. And here, he had a covenant with his eyes. That's a good practice. How did he do this? A gift to protect? He did it by circumstances to prevent. There are circumstances that you need to prevent yourself from entering into. It could be inappropriate material to see, or could be inappropriate circumstances to be in, such as being alone with someone of the opposite sex. Something you need to control, you need to protect. Circumstances to prevent. And we can all do that by placing boundaries. Boundaries to place. Placing those boundaries. You can see Joseph now. I believe that he placed those boundaries even before he was even put into the circumstance. Even before the temptation came, he already placed those boundaries. And so he had a blameless behavior. Second of all, he had a servant attitude. You can call this big-heartedness. We've already been hearing about this. Can you picture Joseph now? Again, he's in this prison. Things are not pleasant. And he's walking by, and what does he see? He sees two young men. And looks in, looks further in, they're sad. He very easily could say, oh, I see lots of sad people here. This is such a depressing place. Ah, it's too bad for them. You know what he does? I can see him now. I don't know if there was a lock on the gate, because he seemed like he was the one that controlled the prison now. And he steps in, he says, right down to where they were, he says, why are you sad? Why are you sad? And he sat there and he listened to their story. What a heart. What a heart. If you want to be blameless and be able to be used by God, you need to have a servant attitude. When someone asks you, you know what, brother, I wonder if you could help me clean the hall. Ugh. Could you help me weed the garden? Ugh. Maybe there's an older lady in the assembly that would like to have help in her yard. It's an attitude. It's a behavior. Wouldn't it be nice to be known like that? To be other fellow teenagers look upon you and say, you know what? You're always helping individuals. You always have this attitude of reaching out. And he had a selfless attitude. And he also, you can think of Joseph now, not only that, but it was sincere. We've heard of the word of benevolence. It was kind. It was generous. Can I just make you think for a moment of Joseph? And here he is with his brothers. And his brothers are there. I find it amazing that he has it in him to forgive his brothers. Do you know what forgiveness is linked with in the Bible? Forgiveness is linked with forgetfulness. Forgetfulness. It's like God when he says that he remembers our sin no more. So if I were to approach God and say, God, I'm sorry for the sin I've committed. And that was today. And I'm so sorry I committed this sin. And God says, I forgive you. Then tomorrow I come back into his presence. I say, God, again, I'm so sorry I committed that sin yesterday. You know what God's response is? What sin? We've already dealt with it. And here's Joseph. Not only was he willing to forgive, but he was willing to forget all those things that happened to him. What a heart. What a sincere heart. Can I go a little bit further? Because sometimes I've really been enjoying this thought of how that us Christians, we're not called just to live the regular life. We're called to live an extraordinary life, to go the extra mile. Think of the Good Samaritan for a while. He went right down to where the man was and lifted him up and brought him back to the home and call it a hospital, I guess. And he took care of him there. Was that good and kind? Absolutely. But notice what he said when he left. Whatever the bill is, I'll come back and pay it. Oh, come on now. That's going too far. No, no. How about David when it comes to Mephibosheth? David brings Mephibosheth right into the king's table. Not only does he do that, you know what else he does? He gives everything that his grandfather Saul had. Oh, come on, David. That's going too far. Just be good enough just to bring him into your palace. No. You see, we're called to go further. And I believe that Joseph went further than just forgiveness. Bear with me for a moment. Come back to that prison cell. In that prison cell, he's talking to those two men. Those two men are interested. Where are you from? You know what he says? In other words, they asked him, how'd you get here? How'd you get to Egypt? Because you're not from here. If that was you, what would you do? I know if it was me, I'd say, well, let me tell you. I had these mean brothers. Oh, they were so mean. And they sold me. And they were cruel to me. That's not what Joseph said. Notice what he said. I was stolen. I was stolen. Never once mentioned his brothers. And then you come to the time when he's in the room and his brothers are there and he's gonna display himself to his brothers. And what does he do? He asks all of the Egyptians to leave the room, get out. It's just him and Joseph. I wonder if this is the reason why. Joseph was Egypt's hero, wasn't he? And if Egypt found out that those brothers sold Joseph, the people of Egypt would be so upset at them. They'd have hatred and anger towards his brothers. So what did Joseph do? Not only did Joseph forgive, but Joseph also protected them and never let the secret out that my brothers sold me. They hated me. Now that is forgiveness. That is going the extra mile. I wonder if there's a young teenager here today, that could be your character. That could be how you are looked upon. One that goes further the distance. Eugene Monti was an Italian bobsledder. And he got into his bobsled and he ran an amazing run. And he was set up to get gold. And there was one guy left to go, and his name was Tony Nash. Tony Nash was getting his bobsled ready, climbed in, and all of a sudden realized that one of the skates had come loose and a bolt had fallen off. What does Eugene do? Ha, 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 ha. I got the gold. No. Runs as fast as he can to his bobsled, takes the ratchet, gets the bolt off, comes over to Tony Nash, says, here you go. Tony Nash puts the bolt on, runs the race, and gets gold. And Eugene gets silver. Benevolence, kindness, it should automatically flow from us, from you young people, to have this heart of benevolence. Lastly, I want to consider for a moment is the C's. First of all, we had the avid attitude. Then we had the blameless behavior that we could find in Joseph. And last of all, we had the committed course, being committed to it. I just received an email from a young man I used to hang out with. I went to El Salvador with him, and I used to sit down and read the Bible together with him. A young man that was so on fire for the Lord. The light's gone out. Sorry, I shouldn't say light's gone out. The light's flickering. Started off well, but it's gone downhill. And I look into the eyes of young people here today. Stay committed to the course. It all comes down to open communication with the Father in heaven. Get into the book. Pray. Can I give you a little tip for a prayer? Something that's really helped me. Make a prayer list. We heard about praying specifically. Make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. Just do something like this simple. Those that are unsaved, and then those that are saved, the ones I want to pray for, and start praying for them. You know what joy it will give your heart? Is when you take someone from the unsaved list and put it in the saved list. I just did that. Just found out this morning. I took someone from the unsaved list, put them in the saved list. Prayer. Open communication with God. Get into the Word of God. And stay committed to the course. Right to the end. Joseph did. At the age of 14, Fraser Doherty makes millions of dollars selling jam. Jordan Emerald, 13, climbed Mount Everest. Cameron Johnson, 19, receives checks for $300,000 a month for renting out websites. Jonathan James, 15 years old. He hacked into NASA. Dietrich Lundwig, 13. He built an electric truck. You, 13? 15? 18? 20? 22. God now takes the podium just like Bill Gates takes the podium. God says, is there one? Is there just one young man, young woman that will completely devote their life to me? You will not regret it. You will not regret it. A life devoted to him. Think Joseph looks back? Says, oh, I wish it. No. Joseph looks back and he understands God's design and God's mold. But he had to accept it. I pray and I trust it might be someone here who's young would accept God's path and eagerly, passionately go forward with it.